It is The Papers with me, Richie Allen. Friday morning, it is the 22nd of March, 2024. And it's another mild one. Get rid of the theme tune. Another mild one here in Salford. 9 degrees, cloudy. But it's good. Hope you're looking forward to the weekend. And I find you in good form this Friday. As I press record, it is 6:14 in the AM. As usual, front pages first. Let us have a look at the front pages. Newspaper headlines. The Metro. £35 billion waspy sting. Waspy sting. According to the Metro, the government is in crisis over a bill which could top £35 billion for compensation for women born in the 1950s. A landmark report has called for women impacted by pension changes to receive payments, and it follows a campaign by so-called WASPI women, named after the group Women Against State Pension Inequality. A £35 billion WASPI sting, says the Metro's headline. So WASPI is a voluntary UK-based group which was founded back in 2015 to campaign against the way in which state pension age for men and women was equalised. By equalising the state pension, this all began in 1995 with the 1995 Pensions Act, which increased the state pension age for women from 60 to 65 in order to equalise the age with men. Do you get it? Okay. So this meant that women born in the 1950s would have to wait up to 6 years longer for their state pension. And that, of course, would impact their retirement plans. Okay. So in 2015, this group was formed by women to argue for the government to provide transitional payments to women born in the 1950s, receiving their pension after the age of 60. Do you get it? It's pretty straightforward when you think about it. So that has been a big story in the last few days. The Daily Mirror, pay them what they are owed, is the headline. Millions born in the 1950s due compensation, but they fear the Tories will shortchange them. The Daily Express, pay up. Millions of women are owed pension payouts, is the headline. So it's women who should be getting their pension now, but are not getting it because the government increased the retirement age for women to align it with the retirement age for men. They should have their pensions. They're not getting it now. And this is affecting them badly. And again, the Daily Mail, new betrayal of WASPI women, is the headline. A landmark ruling for millions of women hit by state pension age increases sparked outrage last night amid claims they have been betrayed. Report says most victims of botched state pension age hike should only get up to £2,950, but ministers won't even commit to this. The I. WASPI women demand help from Labour. So the I is saying that the women affected expect Labour to compensate them if Labour forms the next government. Both the Tories and Labour are accused of remaining silent on this issue. The Daily Telegraph leads with sickness benefits bill to rise by a third. The main story on the Telegraph is about how the cost of servicing sickness benefits could rise by a third by the end of the decade. It's about £65 billion this year. They reckon by the end of this decade, it could be more than £90 billion. The Telegraph is also warning on its front page. It's reporting that the UK government has warned Israel that it will cut off arms supplies unless Israel allows aid into Gaza. That's a ridiculous story. It's a ridiculous threat by the British government, isn't it? It's outlandish. If you don't allow aid into Gaza, we won't be sending you any more arms. How about we don't ever send arms to Israel? Full stop. Ever. How about the UK government doesn't send any arms anywhere in the world at any time ever? And doesn't interfere in the politics of other countries? And doesn't arm any side of any conflict? How about that as a way forward, maybe? I don't know. The Times. 1 million more people cite mental health battle. Main story on The Times is that 1 million more people now than 3 years ago say they are struggling to function due to mental health problems. Yes, I could go on and on about that, but you would probably yawn. We talk a lot about it on The Richie Allen Show. There are some pretty obvious reasons why people are struggling with their mental health. The Guardian has a horrible photograph of a mum with three young babies. A photograph taken in Gaza. It's terrible. US toughens stance to call for immediate Gaza ceasefire is the Guardian headline. So the US is drafting a new UN Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire between Israel and Gaza. According to The Guardian, the move could indicate the Biden administration is moving away from linking a ceasefire to a hostage deal. So an unconditional call at the UN Security Council, a call by the US for an immediate ceasefire with no conditions attached to it. That's The Guardian. The Sun headline is Kit Hits the Fans is the headline. And this is about a new England shirt. The England soccer team has a new shirt with an updated St. George's cross on the back of the jersey. And it is coloured in navy and red, which is not the colours of the St. George cross, which is red and white. It's been branded woke by The Sun, with Keir Starmer, the Labour leader, criticising the new England kit. I don't understand why you'd want to mess around with the colours of any national flag, but it's been labelled woke in any case. The Financial Times, US accuses Apple of illegally building smartphone monopoly to crush rivals. So the Department of Justice in the United States is building an antitrust case against Apple. The DOJ is accusing the company of limiting competition and consumer choice. So there you are, a war on big tech from the Biden administration. The Daily Star, Dumbos is the headline. Dumbos, is it about politicians? No, it is about a crazy story about the prospect of Hyde Park becoming one of the largest elephant reserves in the world. A Botswana politician has threatened to send 10,000 elephants to London while criticising the UK's anti-poaching stance, according to The Star. Yeah, this Botswana politician is probably one of those who alleges that trophy hunting is good for conservation. You've heard that bullshit argument before, haven't you? Trophy hunting is great for conservation. The money that we are paid by lunatic trophy hunters to come and kill docile animals who have no chance and who do not know they are being hunted, we use that money and we use it to fund conservation projects. People who go to Africa to pay money to shoot beautiful animals like lions and like giraffes and like whatever animals, elephants, whatever they kill, those people are sick and they need to be put down, in the opinion of this broadcaster. Hunting is a sick practice. Who the fuck gets their jollies off on shooting beautiful animals and calling it sport? Anyway, I'm with Ricky Gervais on that one. Sickos. Let's go inside the papers. Rather bizarre story in The Guardian. One of its most widely read stories on The Guardian website. Headline, Japan schools move to protect cheerleaders from upskirting at sporting events. I think they've ruined a generation of young men. Not just in Japan, but around the world. With them, you know, introducing various courses in primary schools. Basically, not criminalising, but forbidding and coming down hard on the things that would have been pretty normal in primary schools when I was a kid growing up in Ballybeg in Waterford, you know, chasing girls around playgrounds, you know, stealing the odd kiss, you know, that kind of a thing, kiss chase and stuff like that. They are demonising ordinary behaviour and they're introducing crazy concepts to young men and young boys, telling them that it's perverse, you know. to be interested in girls and creating barriers between boys and girls. We talk a lot about this type of thing on the Richie Allen Show. And I think it's leading to a lot of bizarre behaviour amongst boys. And one of the things is upskirting. This thing where boys will attempt to, using a smartphone, take a photograph of a girl from the ground to maybe, catch a glimpse of what might be under the girl's skirt or dress. Anyway, look, Japan schools move to protect cheerleaders from upskirting at sporting events. They're basically, in Japan, they're getting rid of skirts and girls are wearing shorts and trousers because of an epidemic of what they're calling upskirting. And this is the story I've come across, as I've said, not just in Japan, but in the US and in the UK and in other parts of the world. And I'm linking this to the screwing around with the minds of young men by telling young men horror stories about toxic masculinity and all manner of crazy concepts like that. So it's an interesting one in The Guardian, saying that teenage boys increasingly trying to catch young girls off guard, photographing them, upskirting them, and it's mad. It's in The Guardian today, theguardian.com/UK. Yeah. Also in The Guardian, here's a story speaking of antitrust, speaking of monopolies. I didn't know this was going on. Tesco accused of using cash and carry to squeeze village stores out of business. So you might wonder, how's that possible? How could Tesco use cash and carry, which is a wholesaler basically, to squeeze out small businesses? Well, I didn't know this, but would you believe it? A company called Booker, which is a huge company, a big chain of wholesalers, which would supply retailers, grocery stores and whatnot. Would you believe that some years ago, Booker, which used to supply Tesco, was basically acquired by Tesco? Would you believe that the Competition Authority in the UK allowed Tesco, a massive, massive supermarket chain, to buy a wholesaler that supplies lots and lots and lots of small stores and village convenience stores around the country? Well, they were allowed to buy it. And now what's happening is many small independent retailers are saying that this company, Booker, is squeezing them, putting them out of business, reducing the range of items available by up to 30% at some sites, according to these smaller retailers. They have withdrawn customer favourites, including Yorkshire Tea, Roundtree's Sweets and Coleman's Mustard, reduced the availability and reliability of deliveries, and basically putting a massive squeeze on Tesco's competition. I mean, it's staggering, this, isn't it? How is it even allowed? How could it be allowed that Tesco could acquire Booker? It happened a few years ago, 7 years ago. The competition watchdog was criticised for waving through Tesco's acquisition of Booker, the country's biggest grocery wholesaler. That's staggering to me that it could be allowed. And now Tesco owns the biggest supplier of goods for grocery retailers, and Tesco therefore can basically screw around with its own competition. I mean, that's absolutely nuts to me. It's an important story. It's in The Guardian. Village stores have got together, formed a group and said enough is enough, and they've asked the competition watchdog to do something about it. Wow. That's The Guardian. The Telegraph. This is a story I tweeted out last night. I don't know how true it is, but if it is true, it's terrible. Pro-Palestine nurses at NHS Trust accused of mistreating Jewish child. So an NHS trust is investigating accusations that pro-Palestine nurses denied correct care to a 9-year-old Jewish boy. Elliot Smoos, who is based in Tel Aviv, Israel, wrote on LinkedIn on Wednesday about an alleged incident at Royal Manchester Children's Hospital involving his nephew, who suffers from a rare blood disorder. Mr. Smoos said that his nephew, who has had the condition for most of his life, requires a blood transfusion every month or two, spending days in hospital for treatment. He said his nephew is from a religious Jewish family and wears a kippah and tzitzit, clothing typically worn by Orthodox Jewish males. Forgive me if I've butchered the pronunciation of tzitzit. That's T-Z-I-T-Z-I-T. He claimed the child was kicked out of his bay by nurses wearing Free Palestine badges and forced to lie on the floor with a cannula in. As a result, Mr. Smoot said that his nephew is now scared. If he wears clothing identifying him as visibly Jewish, he's scared he will not receive treatment. The Manchester University NHS Trust Foundation has launched an investigation. They've contacted Mr. Smoot in Tel Aviv for comment. He said, as a religious Jewish family, my nephew wears his black kippah proudly. Not today. Why, you ask? The nurses are all walking around wearing Free Palestine pins, and he was scared. Beyond that, the last few times he went in, he was denied correct medical care by the same couple of nurses every time. Culminating, the last time he went in, when my visibly Jewish 9-year-old nephew with an autoimmune blood disease was kicked out of his bed by one of the nurses who was covered in pro-Palestine badges and stickers and had to lie on the floor. Now, a lot of people, when I posted this story on social media last night, said, it's bullshit, it's bullshit. A lot of people said, oh, Jews are liars. And this is the sort of crap you have to put up with, you know. Jews are not liars, and Jewish people are no more prone to lying about things than anybody else. Look, you can see how this kind of thing might happen. You know, there's a lot of people obviously very pissed off, very angry by what the Israeli, by the Israeli genocide in Gaza, let's call it what it is, okay? And you can see how this might lead to some attacks on Jewish people. I'm not saying it's widespread. I don't believe it's widespread. You've heard me say on the Richie Allen Show a million times, I do not believe there is an anti-Semitism issue in the UK. And I certainly don't believe that there has been any increase in anti-Semitic attacks against Jewish people since October 7th. I don't believe it. There's no evidence of it. And in fact, many thousands of Jewish people have gone out on the streets to protest the genocide by the apartheid government in Tel Aviv. But you could see how these things could happen. You know, tensions are high, emotions are high. It's very wrong, this. And if it is true, you'd expect the NHS Foundation Trust to step in to severely warn the nurses involved. Listen, while your passions about what's going on in Gaza are completely understandable, it's not the blame of Jewish people, certainly not Jewish people living in this country, who probably don't support it. So cop the fuck on, as we'd say in Ireland, and behave yourselves. A strong warning and an apology, if it's true. But there are people who say it isn't true, it's pro-Israeli propaganda. But it might not be. It might not be, you know. You know, a broken clock is right twice a day. So that's a story in the Telegraph. The Times, Channel 4 apologises for failing to properly investigate Russell Brand claim. Now, you know, last year, the Times, the Sunday Times and Channel 4's Dispatches programme reported a number of claims of rape, sexual assault and emotional abuse against Russell Brand, the actor and podcaster. I won't call him a comedian because he's never been funny in his life. Now, he has persistently maintained these allegations are bullshit and that his relationships were consensual. I don't believe Brand. That's my personal take on it. But I don't know. Brand might be telling the truth. I do not know. And that's fair. I've got to be fair and say that. But I don't believe him. I find him a very sinister individual. And that goes way back to Brand's time on British television. I've never liked him. And find him particularly peculiar, I must say. But he maintains his innocence and he has every right to do that. And any allegations against him should be taken to a court of law, or people should shut up about it, really. You know, if you want to be absolutely fair to Brand. But Channel 4 has come out and said they didn't handle allegations against him properly. They've admitted in a statement yesterday that they hadn't handled allegations made against him when he was working at Channel 4 between 2004 and 2007, because an allegation was made by a staff member concerning Brand's conduct towards that staff member. And Channel 4 admitted the allegation had not been passed up to more senior managers and it hadn't been investigated as it ought to have been in accordance with procedures which were in place at the time. Now, Channel 4 doesn't explain this. Why? What was the allegation against Brand not dealt with in accordance with your own procedures as they were in place at the time? Additionally, Channel 4 acknowledged that there had been delays in its communication with the former employee during the past 6 months. There are lots of allegations against Brand. Two or three of them are incredibly serious. One of them appears to be backed up with significant evidence, and that is an allegation that he had a woman in his bed in a house in Los Angeles. Another woman turned up and she alleges that she was raped from behind by him in the living room of this particular apartment. And later on, he sent text messages apologising. Again, Brand says all of this was consensual, but I don't know. His followers claim, laughably, in my opinion, laughably, that these allegations were made against Brand because Brand represents some sort of threat to the Great Reset because of his podcast. I say to that, give me a fucking break. Russell Brand is the establishment. He certainly represents no threat to it. And that is a nonsensical explanation. Now, again, I concede that Brand may be innocent. And if he is, I would still maintain that the allegations have got nothing to do with any attempt to silence him. I mean, who the fuck is Russell Brand? You go to the iTunes charts today and Spotify, the Richie Allen Show charts higher than Russell Brand. So if you want to go by that logic, I represent a greater threat to the establishment than Russell Brand, and I am no egomaniac. I don't represent any threat to the establishment. I don't believe so. You know, the Richie Allen Show is what it is. It's an interesting radio show representing interesting points of view, but I'm no serious threat to the establishment. I'm not stupid. I'm well aware of it. So whatever about these allegations, I don't believe they've anything to do with Brand's podcast in any case. Okay. Interesting one in the Telegraph too. Harry Maguire, I didn't give Tory party permission to use picture of me. There's a famous photograph of Harry Maguire, who's a Manchester United and England defender. And you know what? I think he's a bit of an all-round good egg, Harry Maguire. I really do, you know. I'm not one who ordinarily sympathises with incredibly well-paid sportsmen and women. I'm not one who ordinarily has any, you know, sympathy for them when they take a bit of abuse from fans or on social media. But I like Harry Maguire. I think he's a bit of a good egg. I think he carries himself very well. He's taken enormous abuse in the last couple of years as Manchester United's fortunes have, you know, they've not been great. We had a decent season last season, but before that and this season, it's not been great. And Harry is often ridiculed, right? But he deals with it very well. There's a famous photograph of him with his girlfriend at the time, now his wife, taken just after England had beaten Colombia in a penalty shootout in the World Cup in 2018. It's a lovely photograph, actually. After the game had ended, the players went to the stands and spoke with their wives and girlfriends. And you can see Harry leaning on a fence or leaning on an advertising hoarding or something. And he's chatting away with his girlfriend like he doesn't have a care in the world, right? It's a very famous image. It's an iconic image, really. The Tories have used it in a tweet, in a meme that they're using on social media. And Harry Maguire was asked about it and he said, no, I didn't give permission for them to use the image. They don't need his permission, apparently, according to the Telegraph. Political parties do not have to seek approval to use images. The copyright belongs to the photographer, whoever took the photo. It was probably some press man or press woman, and the Tory party would pay the fee. You've got to pay a fee for using photographs. But it's interesting. You know, it makes you think about politicians and political parties using music from certain artists over the years, and the artists then have, you know, come out strongly and said, you can't use my song and whatnot. But yeah, it's an interesting story in the Telegraph today. And the Sun has an interesting one. Iconic 80s band with 7 top 10 singles forced to flog tickets for just a tenner each as popularity wanes. This is interesting because if you want to go and watch an iconic act from the 90s or the 80s or the 70s these days, it's costing you an arm and a leg, with tickets usually costing upwards of over £100. Look at Ticketmaster and look at some of the other ticket sales, ticket selling websites. You're paying exorbitant fees. The Eagles are in Manchester for a number of dates at the brand new Co-op Live venue, which is based out at the Etihad campus where Manchester City Stadium is based. And you're paying upwards of £200 a ticket. And those are the face value prices. It's crazy, right? So iconic 80s band Forced to Flog, tickets for just a tenner each. It's OMD, amazingly. Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Andy McCluskey and Paul Humphreys. They're performing at London's O2 Arena and they're desperately trying to sell out the venue. They have enlisted a seat-filling service to ensure there is a big enough crowd in the room. Tickets normally sell for upwards of £60, according to The Sun, but they are selling them now on a website called Show Film First. Ticket selling there for just a tenner. So if you're in London, you could do a lot worse than go and see OMD. I've never seen OMD, but I believe it's a great gig, a great show. Go and see Andy McCluskey on Sunday for a tenner at the O2. I think that represents brilliant value. You can listen to Richie Allen on Sunday Morning Melody, Sunday morning, and then Sunday evening head out for a bit of OMD for a tenner. Let me have a squint at the BBC News website to see what they are reporting. Angela Rayner is the deputy leader of the Labour Party, and she's been much maligned on social media in recent weeks with a running count on the days since Angela has given an interview. She went a long time without giving a broadcast interview, and it was all to do with a council house, a property that she sold, a property in Stockport that she owned. She'd bought it under the right to buy scheme. She eventually sold it for a big profit and she was accused of not paying tax on it. She's given an interview to BBC's Newsnight programme and she told the BBC she is the victim of a big smear against her. She received professional advice saying that she owes no tax on the sale of her home. She was accused of maybe dodging capital gains tax on the house in Stockport, which she sold in 2015. Rayner said it's a non-story, manufactured to try and smear me. The claim was brought by the former Conservative Party treasurer, Lord Ashcroft, in a biography. So there you are. That's Angela Rayner. That's in some of the papers today and the BBC News website. What else is the BBC News website reporting today? It is reporting on an attempt to broker a ceasefire in Gaza, with talks going on in Doha, so a lot of talk about that. And that's kind of it really for the BBC News website, and it's kind of it for the papers this Friday. Okie doke. Just to remind you, Sunday morning, it might be your thing, it might not be your thing. I present a music programme. It's called Sunday Morning Melodies. I play some old time music, some 60s, 70s, 80s music. And often there are some lovely stories accompanying those songs. Generally, though, it's just me playing a few tunes and having a chat with you. Do download the Richie Allen Show app. You'll get it from Google Play. You'll get it from Apple's App Store. You can send an instant message to me then at the studio whenever I am on air, whether it's Sunday Morning Melodies or even the Richie Allen Show Monday to Thursday at 4 p.m. UK time. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I hope you have a great weekend, whatever it is you're planning to do. There isn't much sport on for me this weekend. Salford play Hull KR in the Challenge Cup tonight. It's at Hull KR. I won't be making the journey because I would be getting back too late, so I'm going to listen to it on the radio. That'll be me tonight. So look, have a great weekend. Until next time, from the BBG, it's Arrivederci.